Clubroom Backstage.
Anya Schneider is talking to Ein Music, a big, respected visionary artist from Germany.
I think this is the most important thing what we can do at the moment, you know, keep things running. We're really at a point where, you know, something is ending and something's beginning, you know. So I think if we all don't want to have a world which we don't like, we should be a bit active at the moment and speak out things and work out things what we like to have for the future.
Today, my friends, I welcome the German artist Ein Musik to the Clubroom Backstage. Ein Musik, with real name Samuel Kindermann, born in Bielefeld, grown up in Hamburg and now living in Berlin. 2007, he released his first album on the label Italic, and now he counts 7 albums his own work. Beside of all this, he had releases on labels like Liebe Detail, Compact, Dynamic, Noir, Boxer, just to name a few, and of course his label Ein Musiker, which he started already 2009. He's well known and loved for his melodic tech house, and as you can tell, and if you look into his releases he had, he is a very, very busy man in the studio. So I'm very happy that he found the time to come here. Hello, Samuel.
Hey, how are you?
Thank you. How are you?
Yeah, not bad, not bad.
Not bad. This is really nice to hear this, especially in this time. How have you been the last weeks and months?
Pretty busy, to be honest. I instantly started to produce a lot when I realized that we all have...
Surprise.
Yeah, this first lockdown thing. So I was thinking that it could mentally help a lot to focus on working, because, you know, like this is in Berlin, all the winter time is always like really working time, you know, because everything seems to be really depressing outside, always in winter in Berlin, everything's gray and so on. So I knew, although that's kind of summer, that it's going to be a bit difficult season. Mm-hmm. So I started to produce a lot and to release a lot.
It's not a surprise for me, because I looked into your discography and I see your posts lately, and you're always in the studio. You have a great studio. And it's interesting that you say mentally health, because when all this starts in March, you know, for a lot of colleagues, friends of mine, it was quite difficult to handle the situation. Suddenly you are from 100 to zero. How you feel? I'm really surprised that you directly had the creativity to go to the studio, because for some people it was not so inspiring. You never had this depression or bad feelings, dark moments?
I had a few different steps to this. First, I honestly realized what's going on already in mid-end of December, because I'm having some friends in Istanbul, and because they are doing a lot of business with the Asian market, they already knew this kind of crazy threat about
this
virus. Yeah, so... when I was my last US tour in January, I was wondering when I came back from Los Angeles, I think it was like 20 January or something, I was wearing already a mask.
Really?
Yeah, the whole time. And I was wondering when I came via Zurich that nobody wear a mask, although it was kind of a threat already. And... so because of this kind of ignorant point of view of a lot of people to react really lazy and lame, because of this, this whole thing became so big, you know, like if you made decisions at that time, you know, then we all, maybe keep everything down a bit more. So I was thinking that it's going to be really bad already. So I mentally... I was kind of prepared slowly, and I made an EP as well in February, and one song called Dread. So
okay.
I was
so you
like
knew before. Hello.
No, I was like not expecting. I had a small hope that everything's going to change.
I had no idea. I came from Tokyo and Vietnam, especially during this time, and there was no one talking about this. And I was really hidden really hard in March by this.
No, I don't know. Sometimes I'm checking these kind of news from different sources, and I'm counting things together, and then I was like kind of realizing it. And when it happened, I had the good point because I moved at that time with my studio and my office. So I was super busy with doing a lot of physical work. You know, I did mostly the whole movement of the office and my studio by myself. Mm-hmm. So I was with my mind not thinking about it the first weeks. Yeah. So it was cool for me. So,
yeah.
And then I slowly started to be in a new surrounding, and this maybe helped as well, like to be creative.
Mm. But I saw it. You played some gigs lately, no?
Yes. Yeah.
I think quite a lot. How this felt for you? How was it? And where you played actually?
Like in Berlin, a few gigs. It was like. Kind of sit-in parties or something, you know.
How was that?
I played as well like a sit-in separated thing festival in Konstanz in south of Germany. It's always like really weird.
Mm-hmm.
But honestly, the last one I played was in Hamburg, and I played with a friend. Yeah, with a colleague, and he started the first two few songs start really dark, really techno-ish. And I was like, bro, we really have to do here kind of a therapy for the people. And this is what really happened, you know, the people are going there, and they need uplifting vibes because they mentally really crashed, honestly. Mm-hmm. So I took this kind of as a therapy work or something for myself and for the people, you know, like, so it was okay.
But actually, I just read that you started an ambient project under another name. Was this kind of an inspiration all this time?
Honestly, this project, it started already last year. Mm-hmm. We launched the new label, the Fenestra.
Yeah.
And I'm working a lot, like really focusing on Fortress of Floor. But additionally, sometimes I'm really bored, like with this, mm-hmm. and then I'm just like, let the sound happening, mm-hmm. you know. And the result is often kind of ambient, chill out, mm-hmm. no drums things.
Mm-hmm.
I launched it as well. Like I presented as well, like a few songs with my last album, mm-hmm. and. So we launched this label last year, and this is it's a project to this label, you know, because I'm having a lot of output, mm-hmm. but it's perfectly fitting to this mm-hmm. time.
So this was not planned.
No, really. We started this label already last year, mm-hmm. you know. So no, not really. But it's my personal project that, yeah.
It's so funny that we're talking about sound and that you launched this ambient project, because you are one of. Yeah, I really find it difficult to say first, but I think you are like well known as this melodic tech house artist, you know, way before it was really popular. I think you started it when minimal was the biggest thing. So how you feel about this, about the whole development of this melodic techno that's now so big? Is this something what makes you happy? Do you feel still comfortable in this when people call you like this?
Honestly, when people ask me about my music style or genre, what I'm doing, then I don't know. You know, mm-hmm. like it's, I'm often, yeah, I don't know, you know, because my style is from techno-ish thing mm-hmm. to housey to, mm-hmm. I don't know, you know, I love melodies and this is what I did always, you mm-hmm. know, and maybe like during the time or the surrounding bit changed, but basically it's melody based, and you know, I'm an 80s kid, you know, so I'm totally influenced by this, and I really like it till now. Mm. And of course the whole development I honestly like, although at the moment it turns a bit into a cheap direction I don't like anymore, because additionally this 90s mm-hmm. thing is popping up again by a lot of artists who didn't experience what happened in the 90s with all these cheap Eurodance stuff, and they take all these sounds like in their new songs, and so I'm a bit confused at the moment. But basically that the people are loving melodic mm-hmm. music, I feel good about it.
Mm-hmm. Thank you that you said this. I couldn't say it better with the 90s stuff. I feel exactly the same. But sometimes I have the feeling, because when I look to your biography, you've grown up in Hamburg.
Yes.
Hamburg was always a little bit more, let's call it softer, from sound,
housey
than from Berlin during this time. Yeah. Was this city or... had the big influence on your son? No. Well,
originally I'm coming from the drum bass. I was a drum bass DJ in the 90s, in the middle of 90s. I started as a drum bass or jungle DJ.
Yeah. Where you played in Hamburg, there was some drum
bass. There were some tiny underground 50 people clubs, underground clubs. Mm-hmm. Do you know the Powerhouse in
yes.
Hamburg?
Yes.
Yeah, it was like a hip hop club. Downstairs there was like a like a 50 people, and there I had my first gigs.
But it's coming back, the drum and bass. Do you feel this?
Or the breakbeat thing.
The breakbeat, the break stuff.
Yeah,
nowadays, not the jungle stuff we know it before.
Yeah.
And did you dance also to this?
Because it was really difficult. I was like 16 or something, you know? Of course.
This was always for me the most difficult, to dance to drum and bass.
No, not when you're 16.
Yeah, you're right. Probably now we are with all these mobile phones and you will be on YouTube next day. We are more careful. But so you never had like the house music, the melodic stuff from Hamburg, labels. But then also...
Honestly, I never got really any support in Hamburg. Honestly, I don't know if any artist really got support from anybody else in Hamburg. Hamburg is like a really small town, you know, so the people are always like a bit like isolated for themselves. Mm-hmm. And if anybody else is getting a bit successful, then they hate this often. And so it's not like a really big community there that everybody's working at the same thing, kind of. Mm. It was always like a bit like a challenge or something. So I never felt really home in Hamburg.
Sometimes it's like this. The own artist never get the respect from home. It's quite often like this that you...
Yeah.
And Hamburg, just to say for all these people that are not from Germany or don't know it, Hamburg had a really big hip-hop scene, a really great hip-hop scene.
Yeah, totally.
So
totally.
This was really, really well known. But you're playing always live. You're not playing a DJ set when you play on gigs. Or you make something like a hybrid, like a whatever, how you call it.
No, I because of the switch from drum bass to techno or to iMusic, I was kind of bored a bit, like doing this DJ thing. So I was focusing end of 90s really to producing a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And then when Ableton Live came out, the first edition, I think it was like 2004 or 5 or something, I was like, yes, cool. This is like, because you needed to take a lot of equipment into a club.
It
was expensive and it didn't work out really well because you had a lot of trouble with a lot of gear, you know? So, and with Ableton, it was possible to do a proper new kind of live set based on a computer sequencer. And from that time, I think I started playing as a live act maybe like 10, 12 years or something exclusively. And then I was really touring a lot in the world and came to places where it really didn't make any sense to play there live because they never had a live act before there. And so the PA system was really bad and the sound engineers were really like, they didn't had a clue, you know? So it was, you know, and the people, you know, for example, I had a gig like in New Caledonia that's behind
I was there.
Yeah.
This was really the end of the world.
Yeah, it's the end of
but
the
it
world,
was amazing. Yeah. I was there.
It's beautiful, you know, because, you know, but they didn't were experienced with the live act.
There was also a little tiny DJ booth.
Yeah, and I was like, where should I put all my stuff?
Yeah.
We didn't thought about that. Sorry. We need to check this out now. So, and this is always, you know, so then I started to DJ, but because I was thinking like, yeah, it's for these moments, you know, it's maybe better because then everybody's more happy. You know, I'm less stressed, the promoter's less stressed, the people who are expecting something from me are getting, you know, a bigger range and, you know, so everybody would be more happy. So then from that moment, I started to DJ, but it was like maybe in 2016.
Oh, okay.
So on. And lately, the last years, I was maybe already 70% as a DJ again on the road and less as a live act.
Okay. But actually, it was more and more difficult when you start, when you're back in Hamburg, because I remember Einmusik starts with three people.
Yes.
It was Pelle Boys and Basti?
Basti,
yeah. So you were three people, yes, which was more difficult. Yeah. What happened that the other boys only?
It was pretty quick, you know, at that moment, as I already told you, like I was concentrating on producing, you know, so I wasn't interested on being like on stage or something because I was like, at that time, it was as well possible to be just as a producer in the background, you know, it was the old days, you know, so at that time, these guys were friends and stayed with me in the studio and kind of influenced a bit like what I did at that time because they were kind of like a DJ duo. Mm-hmm. So, and then, it came to this that we are like, let's do out of this like a project. So, and it worked out like maybe two years or
but
something.
But you were really successful. I remember you came to my radio show at 15 years or 16 years ago. And it was always good to have three good looking boys, even as, you know.
Thank you.
It was the first techno boy band, you know. I know that other people called themselves
No. It was this kind of thread. Yeah, I know. I think it stopped to be really productive at that point when we had like a huge, for that time, like huge live act show at Mayday. And I think like 2 or 1 week before this show, they called me like, we didn't make any preparations for this live act. What's going on? What should we do? And at that time I was like, I'm prepared, you know, like, so it didn't work out anymore because their focus was like somewhere else, you know, so.
I know they were really funny.
Of course, it was a funny
time.
What a
live act also needs, unfortunately, you know.
No, of course, it was, but it didn't work out anymore. So I was like thinking, I'm doing this project from now on by myself. And, you know, I think they kept on being a DJ for a few years, but I think both doing something else already.
Okay, so there's not so much contact anymore. They're still in Hamburg, no?
No, not really.
Besides of this, maybe not everyone knows, you are also very engaged if it comes to politics or if it comes to have like an opinion. And you are really also fighting for the rights of artists and cultural things.
Lately, yes.
Lately, yeah. What is your approach here? Why?
Honestly, I'm not so political guy because I honestly like to let my music speak a lot. Because I think this is the best base for people to come together. Mm-hmm. Because then you have already one thing in common, you know. When I'm thinking too much about politics, I'm getting a bit afraid of everything. Mm-hmm. So I'm not creative anymore. So it's a bit conflict for myself, honestly. But in this year, especially, you know, during the pandemic times and... I think it was kind of necessary to be open-minded and to be active a bit and do something because a lot of things are going in, to be in the background and to be ignored by politics and that the people became aware of a lot of things and to work with our voices, you know, like, so that was the approach of it, I think.
But do you think the role of the DJ or artist nowadays changing because they're taking so much stand out and speak out and it's even with the social media, you can see it now on all kind of channels now. A lot of people really stepping out of their normal DJ role. Do you think it's changing in general? It's a good thing or?
I don't know, honestly. I think the best thing a producer DJ or a producer musician could do, honestly, at the moment is flooding the market. Because, you know, when this pandemic started, a lot of colleague friends were like, I'm not releasing anything at the moment because then I don't have any promotional content and la la la, you know? So, and I was like, really, you know, let me explain you this because, you know, when you're not producing anything, You know, you're ignoring your fans, mm-hmm. you know, because they don't have any output anymore, you mm-hmm. know, although mm-hmm. they maybe really like what you're doing in generally. Then you are not giving something to work for the label you're mm-hmm. usually working with. And the label don't having any content for the distributor. And the distributor cannot bring anything to the shops and so on. And then when this whole pandemic thing is maybe done in a year or something, you know, and you're ready to release your crazy new stuff, which is already like 1.5 years old or whatever, then maybe all these channels are not there anymore because they are broken, you know. And this is why we as musicians and producers need to really flood the market. Additionally, the people are consuming a lot mm-hmm. because they have a lot of time, mm-hmm. but additionally to keep the wheel mm-hmm. running, mm-hmm. you know? Mm-hmm. And I think I convinced a few, mm-hmm. you know? And I think this is the most important thing what we can do at mm-hmm. the moment, mm-hmm. you know, keep things running. Mm-hmm. And then if necessarily, it's in general, not only for musicians, I think for everybody at the moment, really difficult time. Everything is in a change. We're really at a point where, you know, something is ending and something's beginning, you know. So I think if we all don't want to have a world which we don't like, we should be a bit active at the moment and speak out things and work out things what we like to have for the future.
Wow. Yeah, you're absolutely right. Wonderful said, really wonderful words. But this is also something what maybe a lot of people don't know, because you're starting even your label Ein Musiker 2009, whatever. Was it 2008?
Yeah, end of 2008, 2009,
it's not only a label where you're going to present yourself, which is already amazing. You are also there and take a lot of young artists. You're not having like artist XY with a big name already on your label. You always took on really young artists and helped them to grow. A lot of people came out of you. So you still work on this. How are you now treating this young artist that coming to you and just sending your demos at the moment like this? I mean,
Most DJs or most upcoming DJs as well know in what time we are. We don't have so much promotional places to present new stuff. Mm-hmm. But some are getting creative with this. You know, like for example, what I did already now with the upcoming release of a new project from Holland I'm presenting. They are not so big, but they are kind of semi-growing artists. They came up with the idea like to make a Zoom call with me, you know, and to talk about things, talk about the song. They could present a bit how they do the technical stuff, you know. So it's like not a masterclass, but a bit like, going more into detail and take this as an, take me with my name and my platform, of course. Okay. Take this as a promotional content. You know, I think at the moment you need to be a bit more creative, you know.
And this is actually also another point where I want to talk with you. You are also on Patreon.
Yes.
Tell me a little bit about it. I mean, I'm on Patreon too, but maybe a lot
of
people.
I don't know. I need to follow your feed.
I think you commented on my video when I say I'm now on Patreon.
Ah, okay. But I'm not in Patreon.
Maybe I was commenting on your video when you were presenting something on Patreon. Okay. Maybe we can tell something, or you can tell something about Patreon and since when you're there, which is a good point that you said we have to be creative, you have to be on point, still working on our things.
Yeah, this Patreon thing is it's like a closed community platform, you know, like followers, friends could join you in different tiers get membership of your world, kind of, to support you, you know, but as well like getting something. Yes. You know, for example, I'm having a tier where people could support me with a small fee, monthly fee.
Of course.
And getting like a monthly exclusive live stream I'm doing only for the Patreons.
Oh, wow.
So this is kind of, you know, the benefit out of it, you know. So, and it's working more and more. And I'm having as well, additionally, This idea came because I'm having so many requests on Facebook and Instagram to listen to a song, to guide a song, mm-hmm. to comment on a song, to consult a song, mm-hmm. you know, like mm-hmm. like giving my feedback for them to improve what they are doing maybe. Mm-hmm. And I was always thinking kind of, yeah, I can do this, but it's kind of like... it's kind of as well like my business, you know? Mm-hmm. So, and I think it could be something for the future, mm-hmm. additionally to everything what you do. Mm-hmm. But for example, I'm having there a few producer tiers as well, mm-hmm. where I'm consulting songs, you know? Like they have the ability to send me one song in the month. And I'm guiding, I'm consulting with them this song to get to a final stage, mm-hmm. to just like going to...
This is
to
what you're doing with your label since years.
Yes, exactly, exactly.
Perfect.
So, but it's more channeled because mm-hmm. the people mm-hmm. who are joining me there, because it costs a small fee, they, mm-hmm. they're really thinking about what they are sending to me. So it's as well like a good reduction because mm-hmm. it's not so spammy anymore, you know? So mm-hmm. you're getting, honestly, I'm getting really good songs there, you know? Mm-hmm. I'm having now like nearly 40 members at Patreon or something,
good.
Which is pretty good in
pretty good.
2.5 months,
yes.
you know? So mm-hmm. I'm not doing this like for so long. And so it's okay.
It's
interesting
yeah.
and inspiring as well.
Do you give your music for free also or...?
Yeah, sometimes.
Yeah, okay.
I'm doing a lot of like exclusive behind the scene content.
Mm, yeah.
I'm, you know, like I'm doing what I'm doing with Instagram, mm-hmm. but more exclusively, you know. So I'm more like really speaking with the people there. They can write me and everything, you know. So and I think honestly, it's the new internet, you know.
Absolutely, like, we can do a little video now for our fans on Patreon, our members
yes.
afterwards. Yeah, but it's a good thing. I do quite the same. I do my club room. They got it earlier. They can download it. They have all the tracks signed and named. And I do a special mix, which is not electronic. Where I play the Beatles and stuff like this. Things
yeah,
what I really
yeah,
love.
Yeah, I've seen it. Yeah, I've seen your video. Yeah.
And then I do like a Zoom call because I'm not giving. You know, like they can ask me whatever once a month. And then I have the option if they want to have me on a private party because they can't go to a club. We can do it via a channel. And if they have a birthday party, I will appear on the screen for an hour.
Yeah, the thinking about it started with me when the pandemic mm-hmm. went on. And a good friend from, she was working like, I think for 5 or 6 years for Nike in Portland in America. And we're guiding a big team there. And she came to me and we're like, are you guys really that stupid? Mm-hmm. Every business in this world is at least at this moment at the pandemic ready to take the change over into this digital world.
Total.
Except you guys, mm-hmm. you're putting everything for free 24 hours a day.
Yes.
Like with all the live streams and so on. Mm-hmm. And I was like, yeah, nah, but it's okay that everybody has like, could have something mm-hmm. out of the cultural thing. And I think it's a good thing. Mm-hmm. But then I was thinking like a few days later, like, yeah, maybe she's right. She's right. Why should exclusively this should be like for free in the mm-hmm. future? Everything, you know, like... You're doing like a fitness course or something for free and the next one is costing, I don't know, 30 euros or something, you know? So, and I think this is the future that nothing is sadly not for free anymore.
No, especially if it's creative or cultural things, you know?
Yeah,
it's work and people lost this understanding for this.
Yes.
So it's good. Yeah. So we are both on Patreon, so you can join us and we do a special video afterwards. We do a dance. No, I have no idea. But it's good. But what do you think anyway about the whole streaming situation? Because I saw yesterday your amazing stream. It was really cool.
Yesterday was the day where it was like a Germany nationwide protest movement to make aware of the situation of all the mm-hmm. musicians and the people who are working in the event industry, were going to be ignored by the government since, March. So, and to make sure, you know, that more and more people are, getting aware of this, a lot of artists made this kind of silent streams yesterday. So it was just a protest.
But it was so funny how many people asking, hey, the sound is off.
Yes.
And I just checked it before you came and there was still like, more. And I was like, oh,
there was 300 really comments, like no sound.
It shows actually that people not even reading, they just want to see and listen.
And
it was really well explained. So it's, but it was funny.
But maybe I reached with this protest, I reached maybe a few, maybe 20, 30 people or something who are now aware of this.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe they are talking with their friends. You know, it's a slow process. So I think, I don't mind so much if there are so many people like saying the same thing. But like in January, to your question, like with the streaming thing, I don't think at the first weeks I was as well like doing I think weekly or every 2 weeks like a stream and from my studio.
Yes.
And then I had this talk with this friend. I was like, she's right. You know, it's getting really wasted at the moment, like 24/7, like everywhere, like, and the quality went a lot down, you know, in between like a few weeks, you know, the quality of the music went really down. So I was like, okay, I'm not doing this anymore. And till today, I don't think that's a good thing because the people kind of don't miss music because they have it like on work, like everywhere. And they kind of, maybe it's a good therapy thing as well. But for us to make sure everybody is realizing the problematic situations worldwide of musicians and people who are working in the event industry, it's not helpful. And I don't think that's a good thing anymore.
Yes, absolutely right. So you do it only on Patreon and
yes,
so this is good. So fantastic. Do you think anyway, I mean, beside of all the streaming, we all don't know when it's going to start again, but do you think it will change the whole club life?
I think so, yes. Yeah, because it takes a long time that we, if this ever would be possible to go to the point where if we pre-corona, I don't think that's going to be ever happened, honestly. Because a lot of people going to be there not anymore, you know, like after after corona. I don't expect being on tour before summer next year, honestly. Maybe like I did.
But I mean, you were doing quite good already during this lockdown or this little summer, you know, the summer where everything was closed. You had a few gigs. I mean, this was quite good. You could somehow.
It was difficult, of course. Yeah, but it wasn't related to anything I had before, of course. You know, it was, I had, I don't know, 8-10 shows a month before, and that was like maybe 1 in 2 months or something. So it's not, I wasn't on tour or something, you know. So it was, it was okay for that time, you know. But it's not nothing related, you know.
We spoke about this before, but I just wanted to know again. Do you think the music will change during this time? Because you said also when you were
changed already.
Yeah.
Yes. And
how do you see it? What kind?
The mastering results are more into. You can totally produce music. Best for Spotify. Yes.
I know.
You can do it.
I know. The hook is now coming after 30 seconds. So no one needs this 1:30 intro for mix end. No, of course not.
No, not only this. None. The whole mixing, the whole mastering, the whole leveling. It's, you know, the there are special things to reach for Spotify best.
Mm-hmm.
So you can do the whole mixing best for Spotify, that the sound is sounding amazing on Spotify.
Mm-hmm.
And it already happened. When you listen, for example, to the new album of Kölsch.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
It's totally mixed for Spotify.
Yeah, of course, because it's when we're not
it's a listening album. So, and the consumer, you know, everything will be the next month. You know, honestly, by myself, I'm producing. Why not?
Course.
You know,
we
like
doing this
in the next
need
half
the
of
money.
Year, you're not going to listen to music which is going to be 100 decibels. So you don't need to have this balance for 100 decibels. You need to have the balance for your headphones or for your home listening system.
Yeah.
And And this is a totally different...
than in a club.
Yeah, exactly. Approach to finalize music.
So when is your next album coming for Spotify?
Oh, no, honestly, I'm not doing album.
I can't believe it.
Because, no, it's as well, what Spotify influence. Because in Spotify,
you can
everything what's above four songs, you only can make a spot on one song. Mm-hmm. So if you have like 10 songs, you only can make a spot on one song. So artists already splitted their album into four EPs or something to have more spots on specific... you know, so
it's a shitty business somehow, no?
No, you have to be creative.
It's a Spotify thing, and then you got these nice words from the boss.
I'm not saying that I'm doing an album in four parts, but I'm releasing a lot of EPs at the moment, which is, I think, helpful that the people are having a lot of content the whole time, you know, if they, because I'm having a lot of followers on Spotify and so on, you know, so, and it's good, you know, that I always, you know, could update them with new music. Mm-hmm. And an album is always good to be after this on tour.
Absolutely. You know? And you've been a lot of tour. Also, you've been quite busy in Tulum, USA, because you were also kind in this, call it like Burning Man-ish.
Do I? No, not
from
really.
The music.
I've never been on Burning Man.
No, me neither. But I have the feeling you play on these parties, all the US. You have a great following
the
in the US.
Who are going there listening to my music.
Yeah,
yes,
absolutely.
Yes.
But you've never been there.
No.
No, but do you think you will tour there any...
I'm having working visa for US, but
for 4 years now.
No, no, I think it's only we're wasting
because
now one year.
Yeah, yeah. Because I don't think it's necessary to recreate it. You know,
let's see this in the evening.
Yeah, yeah. Because tonight is a really important night because it's pre-recorded, so we're talking about things what's going to happen in the future. So hopefully the best.
Yeah, hopefully the best.
Samuel, thank you so much for being here and talking really good things. I learned quite a lot today. Thank you. Wonderful. So
some productions miracles at the moment. Yeah.
No, and you said really wise things. Thank you very much. I couldn't make it better. Thank you.
Thanks for having me.
Clubroom Backstage.
Produced at Blackout Studios.